In that introduction, there was an enormous amount of wisdom to be passed on, to be received and assimilated. So for this first session, I invite you to focus on motivation, your desires, your aspirations, your priorities, your goals in life, in this lifetime and in future lifetimes. What is your deepest longing? Make it very personal. We're not just going through a routine or a ritual or a script. You individually, uniquely, what are your opportunities? What are your freedoms? In this lifetime, right now, to effectively realize what you've always wanted and now have the opportunity to accomplish. What is the nature of your human life, precious and rare, replete with all freedoms, endowments, or opportunities? Become a Buddha in this very lifetime. What is your situation? Is it true of your situation? Your life now? There's no value in having a treasure chest filled with jewels, gold, silver, diamonds, right under your bed. There's no value in having that treasure chest there unless you know it's there, that it is yours for the taking. For you to benefit from this wealth. There's no value if you don't recognize it. And how rare it is to have such a treasure just beneath your bed. So recognize it, treasure it, and use it. And our lives are passing inexorably every moment, of course. Time is running out. And we don't know how much time we have left in this lifetime with this body. Who can say? Death so often comes unexpectedly. Suddenly there's an accident. Suddenly we're diagnosed. Suddenly there's a tragedy. and our life is over. And sooner or later, it will definitely be over. And all that we identify with, our bodies, our minds, our wealth, our friends, our environment, we will lose it all. And for others will become only a memory. But for us, we will continue in a conscious flow of experience, but we'll no longer have this opportunity. Karma will have matured, matured or ripened, and it will have exhausted itself. So this life is the treasure. You see the sense of urgency, not to waste time, not to idle away the hours, not to kill time. People acquire wealth and invest it, sometimes unwisely, but they can get more. But we can't get more life. We can't add to our account. So how shall we invest the moments, the days of our lives to reap the greatest benefit, richest harvest? How imperative not to waste time when this time is so precious. And while it is true that many of the events that lie in wait for us in this lifetime will come as a result of the maturation of our actions in past lives, this is true, it's not just chance or good luck or bad luck. It is also true that we are crafting our lives by the decisions we make, the actions that we adopt. We are crafting our lives, crafting our futures, not in total control, but in more control than anyone else. Recognizing the significance, especially in terms of long-term consequences, of every action for good or ill, and taking responsibility. That we continuously devote ourselves to virtue, and overcome, restrain, counteract the tendencies for harm, and devote our lives to ones of nonviolence and benevolence. This is the nature of karma. Actions have consequences. And unlike the blind faith of so many people, feeling you have only one life to live, so make the best of it, because when you're dead, you're dead, and believing them somehow that's scientific or that's being realistic, and nothing could be the further from truth. Scientists have no idea what happens at death. No idea at all. All they know is the brain dies, the body dies, but that's not news. They have no idea where consciousness comes from, its nature, and what happens to our own individual streams of consciousness at death. It is a mystery for them. But for contemplatives throughout history, East and West, they have discovered that consciousness continues. Call it your consciousness, jiva, soul. But annihilation is not an option. A mere termination, just because you believe it, is a fool's errand. There is no such easy escape from samsara. Whether the suffering is blatant or it's implicit, the sheer vulnerability to suffering does not go away by itself. It's samsara, an ocean of samsara. And it will never offer us the happiness, the safety, the fulfillment that we seek, not by looking outwards. So who can provide us with refuge in this vast ocean? Provide us with an island of safety, a vessel to cross to the farther shore. Only those who have gained such freedom themselves. So we take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And as we venture into Vajrayana, we take refuge in the Lama, the Yidam, the Kandama. Our true refuges. We come to Dzogchen. And even if we've not yet clearly identified our own pristine awareness, intuitively, if we can affirm that it's there, in our heart of hearts, we know it's there. Place your trust there. This is your innermost refuge, the source of ultimate healing, the source of all virtue, the source of all genuine well-being is already within. And everything and everyone else, teachers, Dharma friends, and so on. True refuges externally are to lead us to this inner refuge from which we are never parted. For it is who we are. And then turn your awareness, open your awareness to everyone around you. Perhaps in the room with you, or the neighborhood, the house, the community. And expand the field of your awareness out over the countryside, up into the sky, across the land, into the oceans. And be aware of all of your neighbors, all of our neighbors, human and non-human alike, visible and non-visible alike, on this planet and throughout countless other world systems throughout the universe. Countless. And here we are, all one family, all of us wishing to be free of suffering, always, always wishing to find happiness that satisfies, that is sustainable, that frees us from discontent. Recognize there are no real barriers, no demarcations between self and other, and this other and that other. We are all arising mutual interdependence. We're all of the same family. These mothers and fathers are brothers and sisters. And since we live in a nature of interdependence, how can we then realistically aspire only for our own freedom? It's fundamentally unrealistic because we do not exist autonomously. So expand the field of caring to embrace everyone around you. Let your heart open with the aspiration, may we all find the happiness we seek, our deepest aspirations, and cultivate the causes. May we all be free of suffering and remedy the underlying causes. Take delight in everyone's virtues and their joys. Looking upon all with partiality. Equally deserving of our love, our compassion, our care. Bring them all into your heart. Aspire for their well-being just as you do your own. We ask of ourselves, but how can I be of service? How can I alleviate the suffering of others when I myself am suffering and perpetuating the inner causes of my own suffering? What can I do? We can do what those who have gone before us have done. Achieve freedom, achieve the perfect awakening of a Buddha. That's what we can do. And that's the greatest thing we can do in order to be of greatest benefit to those around us in the near term and the long term, in this lifetime and all future lifetimes. So out of great compassion, arouse bodhicitta. Not merely the aspiration, but the resolve to achieve perfect awakening for the sake of all sentient beings. And commit yourself to serving the welfare of others. For as long as space remains, as long as there's a single sentient being remaining in this ocean of samsara, resolve to remain, to manifest, to be of service, until all are free, all have awakened to their own true nature. And resolve to devote yourself to practice, to following this path of all the bodhisattvas of the past, present, and future, cultivating the perfections of generosity and so on, let your awareness enter into the realm of possibility by the power of imagination. Imagine what could be. And imagine that now imagine being a Buddha. Imagine with each in-breath drawing in the light of the enlightened activities of all Buddhas, drawing this brilliance into your own being, filling your own being. And with every out-breath, imagine rays of light emanating from your body, manifesting in whatever way is helpful to sentient beings, to free them from suffering, to bring them to full awakening. Breathe in the light of all the Buddhas. Breathe out the light of the Buddha within. Then for just a moment, release all imagery, all aspirations, all objects and activities of the mind. And for just a moment, utterly rest, release. Rest in awareness itself. In its primordial purity and clarity. Illness.